Well, good morning and welcome to Thursday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here on another nice day. Second day of October, and boy, the weather continuing to be beautiful in this great province, and we've got a great show. Lots planned for today. 9 o'clock this morning, we open up phone lines. A few things we can chat about. Alberta's premier taking the next step towards incentivizing a pipeline in Canada. I like the step she's taking. I like what I'm hearing from Premier Danielle Smith. We will open the lines to hear your thoughts. Is this the right way for the province to be going? I know our Premier Scott Moe has come out supporting that. What about this situation that I am absolutely like scratching my head, wondering how this has gotten to the point that it has, the ostrich situation in BC. Now we're hearing about a 72-year-old lady who has a protester with a balaclava on come up, douse her house in gas, douses her in gas, ends up punching her, giving her a black eye. This is going way too far, way too far. I know there's some very strong, passionate feelings on this, so we will get your thoughts on that when we open up the phone lines as well. How often do you flip through your phone and see a video of police officers using force, often coming with criticism? It's disproportionate to what was needed. It's excessive. Well, there's a new piece of research out that shows serious injuries from the police as a result of their use of force are very rare. It's a Canadian survey, actually, and we've got a couple of people involved with that joining us on the program, and the impact it's having actually on the wellness of police officers, just that public scrutiny. So we'll talk a little bit about that. You could be part of a new gold rush in Canada and take home $1 million. Believe it or not, could be right in your backyard. Not literally in your backyard, but it could be not that far away. We've got a guest on from the Northern Miner talking about this great Canadian gold rush search that's happening. And on the show today, a resurgence of typewriters. We've got a guest, a historian from this province who repairs vintage and antique typewriters, who basically became a pen pal with Hollywood actor Tom Hanks as a result of this passion. And then we open up the phone lines to hear your thoughts on what you're happy to see coming back into style. What may be popular from your youth, it's back in vogue. The relic renaissance discussion happens later in the show today. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Oftentimes, there's a number of things going on in the world that all pertain to a topic that we could bring in one guest and tackle a number of topics at the same time. And that's where we're at this morning when it comes to food, the cost of food, a number of different topics that lend themselves to our friend Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, food distribution policy professor at Dalhousie University, visiting scholar in food distribution and policy at McGill University, and our guest first thing this morning, Dr. Charlebois. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Evan.
So I'm flipping through your social media the other day, and I see the picture you post. You're going to grill a steak for supper, which is pretty common, but it's an Australian piece of beef, and it was extremely reasonable in price compared to what beef prices are. What is going on there?
Yeah, it was literally half the price for a similar cut in Canada. And so I did post this to send out a message saying, well, you know, there are some beef cuts available. But soon after, I actually received a couple of phone calls from Australian reporters, and they were telling me that Australian beef in Australia is more expensive than Australian beef in Canada.
What? So yeah. What's the deal? How is that? So, like, what are your thoughts on what's happening?
Well, so this is what got me concerned. I mean, if when that happens, two things pops up into my mind. Either our packers are basically profiteering, and of course, in Canada, we have two major privately owned, foreign-owned companies, Cargill and GBS. We have no access to their margins. We have no access to what's going on there when it comes to profits. And frankly, when you look at beef prices in Canada versus the U.S., our beef prices have gone way up compared to the U.S., so I'm certainly concerned about that. Or, and this is the other part, pointing fingers at Ottawa here, is Australia dumping beef into Canada? is that what's going on here? Or so I was certainly, I've been trying to send out a message to Ottawa saying, I think you need to look into this. I mean, it's basically undermining our own beef industry right here in Canada. So Canadian cattle producers are working hard, providing us with high quality products. But if packers are gouging us, i.e. grocers, and grocers have to protect their margins, of course, or if Australians are dumping beef into Canada, both scenarios are hurting our right. cattle industry, and I would look into it.
For sure. So let's take the Australian, I mean, I don't want to call it a red herring, but let's just take that out of this for a second. So what are the other possibilities that Canadian beef is as expensive as it is? Because I'm seeing Facebook groups dedicated to this topic, people posting the cost of beef when they're going to the grocery store, and you'd think, this is Canada. We've got an abundance of it, certainly our province alone in Alberta, big producers of beef. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so actually this week on the Food Professor podcast, one of my guests is actually a cattle producer out of the prairies, and we did talk about what's going on. And credit's been difficult. It's been difficult to scale up herds in Canada. There's just no inventory, which is why prices are higher. But I must say, Evan, there's a part of the increase that I can't explain in Canada. In the U.S., increases, beef prices have actually gone up, but not to the same extent. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there is something fishy, no pun, going on in Canada when it comes to beef prices. Beef prices should have gone up, but they're way up. And now grocers are looking for other sources, Mexico, Australia, which is fine. I mean, they're allowed to do that. But to actually hear that Australian beef in Canada is cheaper than Australian beef in Australia, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense at all. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois is my guest. Okay, so when we talk about the price of food, the term supply management often will come into the discussion. You and I have talked about it. Knowing that we are now under a year away from sitting down and renegotiating the CUSMA agreement, knowing the way the U.S. president feels about supply management in Canada, do you think it's on the table at all, Sylvain?
I get at that question a lot these days by business folks, and my position has always been the same. I mean, it is up to us to decide what we do with supply management. What our trading partners care about is market access. And will Ottawa grant more market access to the Americans? Probably. I would say yes, but it doesn't fix the problem. I mean, we're basically going to give more access to the Americans, to Mexicans, and we'll write a check to dairy farmers so they can shut up and move on. But that doesn't fix anything. It doesn't fix the lack of efficiency within the dairy sector. Doesn't fix the problem of milk dumping and all of the issues that you and I have spoken about over the last few years. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fix any of that. We need Supply Management 2.0. We need a more competitive dairy sector in Canada, and we need to make it less of a political wedge issue for Ottawa so we can actually see a federal government support other farmers like canola growers, cattle producers, hog producers, other sectors that are actually generating more economic growth.
Right. I'm laughing because I flipped through all of your social media posts, and there's one that caught my attention the other day, how Canada's viewed on the world stage. You refer to a post on social media, you refer to Canada as a teenager on the world stage, searching for its identity and prone to overreact when it hears something it doesn't like. What did you mean by that?
You know when you're tired at night and you start writing on Twitter, it's never a good idea, really. It's even a worse idea if you've actually been drinking. But on Monday night, I think on Monday or Tuesday night, I was actually tired, and I just went at it. I mean, I'm really the U.S. ambassador to Canada was criticized for saying in Halifax, he was actually talking in Halifax, he was criticizing Canada's attitude around the anti-American campaign. We're all seeing it. I mean, many politicians have openly criticized America and is supporting buying Canadian, buying local, which is great. But what really, to me, what I saw from politicians is that they're basically discouraging people to buy American, and America is and will remain our number one trading partner. And so the U.S. ambassador was basically saying, you know, the elbows up campaign, everything else that we've seen in recent months is just disruptive. And it made me think, when you look at Canada, and I travel, I'm in New Orleans next week. I was in Brazil in June. I'm back in Europe in a couple of months. I travel a lot, Evan. And let me tell you, the things I'm hearing about Canada is not great this year compared to past years. And we often are seen as teenagers, adolescents, seeking for an identity, moving beyond our parent, i.e. the United States. And we actually have a hissy fit whenever we hear something we don't like.
Yeah.
That's being a teenager. And Canada right now is acting like a teenager.
Well, I'm going to have to pay attention what time of day you're posting these things on social media. I like that. Hey, okay, I've only got a few minutes left and I got a couple of topics. Very quickly, this ostrich cull in BC. I know it doesn't have to do with food. However, the CFIA was involved in this order. Do you have any thoughts on this at all?
Yeah, so I haven't really publicly commented on this issue just because the ostrich farm is for research. It's not for the food supply. And but that being said, it is about the avian flu, and the avian flu is a serious matter for our poultry sector in particular. But I've been studying the CFIA. I've worked with the CFIA for many, many years. And let me tell you, they just dropped the ball on this one. They made this issue way too complicated, and it's just gotten out of hand politically, and so I'm not surprised that actors, celebrities have actually looked at this issue, and it just makes the CFIA look really, really bad. It could have been avoided, but when it comes to communications, the CFIA really is one of the worst in Canada that we have, unfortunately.
Okay, I want to quickly get to this. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. You did a bit of a comparison on Thanksgiving dinner costs. What did you come up with this year? More expensive? Where are we at?
Are you a turkey person?
I love turkey. I like the light meat.
You're going to be happy because turkey prices are actually cheaper this year compared to last year. Mm-hmm. And 10 to 15% on average. And the reason why we came out with our report this week is we're encouraging people to go and shop around this weekend, not next weekend. This weekend is when you'll find some good deals. So turkey, the bird itself, carrots, if you're into greens like beans, for example, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, all these things are actually cheaper this year. Bread rolls, the same as last year. Pumpkin pies, the same. But as soon as you go into, say, cranberries, gravy, in a can especially, you're going to pay more. Why? Tariffs. Tariffs on steel and aluminum. If you buy something in a can for Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to pay way more. So my advice to you, take some time to make your own. Some people actually do buy filling for their pumpkin pie. I would avoid it because it's going to cost you way more this year. So if you're careful this year, if you're disciplined, you can actually save some money, even buying a turkey.
Your favorite part of a Thanksgiving meal would be what?
Like, well, being with the family.
Okay, I'm talking about the food, Sylvain, but I get it.
Oh, the food, of course. Yes, actually, this Thanksgiving, I'm not going to be with my family. Unfortunately, I'll be in New Orleans, as I told you. And so, but I am a turkey fan. And I don't give me the breast. I love brown meat.
Really?
It's succulent, yes.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing, and we always appreciate having you on the program, Sylvain. Safe travels down south.
Take care, Evan. Bye-bye.
Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, we always enjoy having on this program, food distribution policy professor, Dalhousie University, and of course, the also visiting scholar, food distribution and policy at McGill University as well. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.